Welcome to Let's Talk Dementia, the show where caregiving gets real. If you're a caregiver looking for expert advice and a lot of encouragement, you're in the right place. Our goal is for you to thrive, not just survive. Here is our host, best-selling author and certified dementia practitioner, Carol Howell.
Welcome to Let's Talk Dementia. I'm Carol Howell, your host. Are you having a good day? Well, I hope you are. I am sitting here on Sunday afternoon recording this and had a great day of worship this morning. I had the opportunity to play the piano for worship service, and that's something I've not done in many, many years. I no longer have a piano, so practicing was a bit of a challenge, but, you know, it was fun to go to the church and just sit there and practice and take some time away from the other things in life that I do. But I did not exercise today, and that was intentional, and I want to talk to you about that. So we know that exercising is the best thing you, well, maybe not the best thing, but one of the best things you can do for your health. And we know that regular exercising 30 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week, will reduce your chances of Alzheimer's type dementia by 50%. Not only that, it helps reduce your chances of many diseases because of the benefit you are giving your body by exercising. You know, the more you exercise, the stronger your muscles are. Your muscles surround your bones, so the more muscle you have surrounding your bones, should you fall, and please don't, but should you fall, now those bones are more protective and more protected, and you're less likely to break a bone. Hey, that's a win-win if you ask me. So I did not exercise this morning intentionally. I don't exercise on Sundays, and I don't exercise on Fridays. Fridays are a day that I try to keep fewer things on my calendar just to have a little bit of time off. And so I sleep late. Well, in theory, I could sleep late, but in reality, my brain is getting used to waking up around 6 or 6:30, and I'm glad about that. But I get up and I don't have anything I have to go do. So that's when I can just sit on my lanai with hot chocolate, which is what I make on Friday mornings. I'll tell you about that one day. And enjoy my hot chocolate and some time with the Lord and maybe some time reading in my book or just singing or whatever feels good while I sit on the lanai. Then on Sundays, I don't go exercise because I'm getting up, getting ready for church. But the other days of the week, oh yeah, I get up at 6 o'clock. I get changed into some not so pretty clothes, probably the same ones I wore yesterday, and I go outside and I do one of various different activities that I like to do for my exercise. I exercise 40 minutes at least every day. In addition to that, when I come back, I do 100 squats. And yes, my butt hurts because of it. But I'm noticing that I am being able to squat further down and I'm hurting less, so I guess that's good. So I'm just doing things to help improve my legs by doing those squats. But I go outside, I ride my bike some days I walk, I do high interval walking, where you walk fast for like a minute and you walk slow for a minute, or you walk fast for 3 minutes and you walk slow for 3 minutes, whatever combination thereof of numbers that makes your heart sink. And when I'm riding my bike, I do interval bike riding too. Some days I go walking and I walk slow, but I take weights and I will do arm curls or above my head or various exercises that I can do holding those weights while I walk. So anything to get me outside and get me going. Now, I used to always exercise in front of the TV. I don't do that anymore because I am more and more learning how beneficial being outside is for us. I've talked with you before about grounding and how having your feet in the sand is good for you, as Jimmy Buffett says. Now, I'm not going to go walking outside barefoot. Too many lizards and snakes. So I don't do that. I sleep on a grounding mat. But being outside, seeing nature, seeing the palm trees blow in the wind and the water moving in the lakes, breathing the fresh air, feeling that air, observing nature, being amazed every time at the color in the trees and in the shrubberies and the flowers, it's so relaxing. And that's when I talk to God. I have my best conversations with the Lord at that time because it's like my brain is cleared and I can think. Well, I hope you will consider doing that for yourself. it is going to be a benefit to you. The more you do it, the more you set your alarm to get up at 6, the more you will start waking up at 6. Now, you need to go to bed early enough that getting up at 6 is not key or is not hindering you from getting your 7 to 8 hours of good sleep a night. I go to bed at 9 o'clock and I am definitely asleep by 10 o'clock. Get ready to go to bed at 9. So by the time I'm in the bed, you're probably talking 9:20, 9:30. I'm asleep by 10 and I can sleep till 6. That's 8 hours. So that's great. But if you cannot get up early because of your caregiving responsibility, I understand that. I do. But if you can't get up early, could you be outside when the sun when the sun sets? I was about to say it wrong. Because if you're outside when the sun comes up or you're outside when the sun sets, you are fighting your chances of depression drastically. In a head-to-head study, as I understand it, of being outside for the change of the rising of the sun or the setting of the sun, it was as effective as most antidepressants. And you know what? Zero side effects. Just zero side effects. And that's something to be aware of that will help make you healthier. Now, could you get outside with your loved one? Well, I hope you do. Maybe they are a morning person and they'll be up early and you just give them a cup of coffee and a piece of toast and put them in the wheelchair and go for a walk and get some exercise. Because I'm telling you, if you're pushing them in a wheelchair, that's strength training. Kudos to you. So think about those things that you can do that make you healthier. Do what you enjoy doing and make it an everyday part of your world. Another thing I want you to consider doing when you awake is to start with words of gratitude. I have been struck by that lately. I've just had some negative thoughts on my brain lately, and I don't know why. Well, yes, I do know why. The devil just enjoys doing that, doesn't he? And that's when I tell him to kick his sorry butt to the curb. He has no power over me. And I say those words too. And so when you wake up, if you start your day with words of gratitude, think about three things or four things every morning that you're going to be thankful for. And don't say the same things every time. You know, don't be repetitive. Think of different things you're grateful for. They may be little bitty things and they may be great big things. I think about my granddaughter who is 28 months old now, and she says her prayers at night, and her mom and daddy have her say who she's thankful for. Well, I'm thankful that she, at the top of her thankful list, has God and then Jesus. Normally, it's mama and daddy or daddy and mama. Sometimes it's Poppy and Dodo. I'm Dodo. And then she'll be thankful for her toys and her soccer ball and her blankie and her dolly and her Minnie and her Mickey, and she'll go through the list. And I think there are those of us who would think, well, you know, they need to train her better. No, she's dead on with her thankfulness. Because when I lie in bed and I'm thankful for my blanket and I'm thankful for my favorite pillow. I love my pillow. Well, I got two. I love both of them. I'm thankful for the sound machine that we put on that helps just to soothe and calm. I'm thankful for my ceiling fan because, boy, do you know, I have some hot flashes, so I'm thankful for that. I think about the little things that I'm thankful for. When you can go out for your walk and you've walked fast and you didn't get a blister, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful when I go to my kitchen to cook something, I actually have all the ingredients because I'm really not good at planning ahead. So it's a bit of a miracle when that happens, but I'm thankful that I have those ingredients and that I have a husband that'll run to the store and get what I might need. I'm thankful for clothes that I enjoy wearing, and I'm thankful for clothes that are too big now. So just all those things I'm thankful for. I will tell you, the other day, my granddaughter was saying her prayers, and she said she was thankful for God, and then she paused, and then she was thankful for Mickey and for Minnie and for, Donald and Daisy and Bluey, and she went through every character she's ever heard in her whole life, some we didn't even know she knew about. That's what she was thankful for. Amen. Her mom and daddy said amen, tucked her in and hugged her. I say amen to that too. So what are you thankful for? Start your day with that, and then start your day with some movement. Make sure you get some good 8 to 10 ounces of good, healthy water in your system before you leave the house so that you're hydrated, and then take a sweat cloth and go outside. Have a great day. Be thankful. Find yourself moving that body and rejoicing in life, even in the hard times of caregiving. But I'm here for you. You can write me, Carol, at letstalkdementia.org. Blessings and smiles. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Let's Talk Dementia. Remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Carol offers free phone consultation to support you, and she's available to help with the transition to assisted living or memory care. To learn more or to get in touch, visit letstalkdementia.org. Until next time, be kind to yourself and know that help is just a phone call away.